Hello, I'm Joanna Bailey. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Simple Flying Podcast, where we'll give you the lowdown on the latest news from the world of commercial aviation. Here's what we've got for you this week. Coming up today, we're taking a look at mental health in aviation as part of Mental Health Awareness Week. The week, which runs from May 15th to 21st, is designed to open conversations about mental health, to tackle the stigma around it and to raise awareness. What better way to shine a light on mental health in aviation than by having a chat with a working airline captain to get his thoughts on the current situation? So now you know what's in store, let's get on with the show. And with that, I am pleased to welcome Instagram sensation and Simple Flying regular, Captain Chris, back to the show. Chris, how are you doing?
Very well today. In fact, that's an important sentence, that. Two things you said there in your introduction, stigma. There's a stigma about mental health. And the other thing is, how are you doing? We say that sentence so easily, and we say it to our friends, our family. It's the first thing we see, how are you doing, all right? If you think somebody might have a mental health problem, ask them twice. It's the easiest thing you can do, right? How are you doing always elicits an answer like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm well, I'm terrific, wonderful. People say they're wonderful when they're not wonderful. If you pause and then ask that question and maybe say it like, no, really, how are you? Pause, you might get the real response. And with Mental Health Week this week, it's a really good thing that everybody can learn. It's the most simple thing you can learn. Ask twice. How are you doing? Ask again.
Very, very true. We kind of throw that comment away. How are you? How are you doing? You're right. And you tend to get the stock response. But I think sometimes if you show you really care and you really want to know how they're doing, you might get a different response. But to put this in some context, you know, mental health is obviously not just a problem for aviation. I had a look at the numbers this morning. We are apparently in the midst of a global mental health crisis. And according to the World Health Organization, one in five Americans are suffering with mental health issues. And here in the UK, around half of all adults have had their mental health affected by the cost of living crisis, which we're all dealing with in our various ways. In fact, just this morning, the government's announced a new online depression therapy service to try and give more support to people in crisis. But, you know, in aviation, mental health issues can affect anyone in any role, but it seems to be the pilots who have the most at stake in terms of recognising the symptoms and reaching out for help. The issue, as I understand it, is that exposing a mental health problem could affect their ability to hold a first-class medical certificate and ultimately their ability to work and support their families. Chris, do you find that people are hiding mental health symptoms?
I'm not a doctor, but I am a very experienced airline captain, and I work with people that are going through all sorts of problems. Everybody, nobody's perfect. We all have things going on in our lives, and more so because of the pandemic. We've all had to deal over the last couple of years with the pandemic, you know, with relationship problems. We all go through problems, work-life balance, buying and selling a home, moving home. Bereavement comes to us, unfortunately, sometimes during our life. We all pilots worry about their sim checks coming up. So there's always work pressures, and there's always concerns with your colleagues, career options, financial problems at both ends of the scale. You know, the young pilot, he's probably got a large debt behind him or her for her training. And then you've got the older pilot who doesn't have any other skills. So if they lose their medical, they're worried about what they can do if they would lose their aviation medical. So these sort of worries are going on in every single person's minds, whether they're on the street or an airline pilot up in the skies. And it's an important issue that needs to be tackled.
Absolutely. I was looking at some studies that have been done on whether pilots are talking about mental health, whether they feel that they can seek care. And there was a study, it was actually in 2019, so pre-pandemic, but around 78% of airline pilots said they were worried about seeking medical care, some of them for mental health, some of them for other conditions, because they thought it might impact their careers. More recently, a US Air Force study, which was done just this earlier this year, found that 72% of military pilots actively avoided healthcare for fear it might see them losing their wings. And that's particularly when it comes to mental health. So they coined the phrase lie to fly as part of the kind of military aviation culture. Now, I know we're not really talking about military aviation here, but I think it is representative of kind of the impetus that is going on in the pilot community. I read a really interesting interview actually with a lady called Captain O'Shaughnessy, who is now a retired airline pilot, but she had 30 plus years in the cockpit. And she said that right now pilots are struggling with chronic stress, anxiety, depression, use and abuse of alcohol, and in some cases drugs. And she said that, you know, within the community, there is no encouragement to lie to medical examiners, but that pilots do feel they need to guard the information on their mental health out of fear it might make them lose their livelihood. So why is it that pilots don't want to talk about mental health? Does it instantly mean you're going to be grounded if you're having a bout of anxiety or depression?
Absolutely. I think you answered it with that introduction as well. There is a stigma about mental health. Obviously, airline pilots don't have the same mentality as the gung-ho Air Force or military flying, which is the old lie to fly article, which I actually read as well. But in the airline world, like I already said, you know, people don't want to lose their job. They're worried about losing their job. And especially with the pandemic, you know, we saw how easy it was for people to lose their jobs. So right now, people are just keen to just have the status quo, just get on with their job. And it's a job that's very difficult. You know, it's a very high demand, but low control sort of environment. We have this responsibility to our passengers and obviously our company as well. But we also have communication standards within ourselves in the cockpit and also with air traffic control. Our standards are regularly checked, so there's psychology involved in that. It's a fatiguing work environment. We have unusual rest patterns, difficulty catching up with family. And when you are home, you need to sleep and so on. And when you're away, you're awake. So there's lots of demands on us. And you know, that continuous assessment of our skills, and not just our flying skills, but our human skills and how we operate with the other pilots. And at the other end of the scale, we have low control over where we go. You know, especially if you're a junior pilot, you don't have much of a roster check. So you're always in different destinations, different time zones, and you're always, always desperate to try and sleep. And yes, you do get down route and at 3 a.m. in the morning, body clock time. But the last thing you need is a beer, but that's what you need. So, yeah, there is a problem, and it's just talking. I think actually sounds silly. I've just mentioned that. But when you are down route and you're having a beer and you're relaxing after a flight, that's a good time to talk to your colleagues, talk to your peers and find out how they're going. And that's what I normally do when I talk to my crew.
Fantastic. So if you, as a pilot, went to your superior or to your medical examiner and said, I feel like I'm suffering with depression, would that be it, like instantly taken out of the cockpit, no more work for you?
Suffering with depression, that's a medical term, and a doctor is the one that can assess that. But if you feel depressed or anxious, yes, definitely speak to your AME, absolutely 100%. But before you need to get to that, there are other ways of speaking to somebody. Obviously, you know, the first point of call is speak to your partner, speak to family, speak to friends, colleagues at work, like myself at work. But also most airlines are now setting up these peer support groups, and they're excellent. You know, if you don't want to speak to somebody too close to you because you're worried how it might affect your relationship, there are peer support groups. And they were set up only a couple of years ago. There's a thing called the Center for Aviation Psychology. If you Google centerforaviationpsychology.com, that was set up in during the pandemic, actually, when people were losing their jobs. And they provide support to many airlines in Europe and the UK. I think they cover something like 25,000 pilots in 8 different languages. And they provide peer support for individual airlines, but also for anybody outside in the business jet world or in the smaller scheduled operator world. And you can contact them and you will find somebody who will speak to you. That's the best way to start. And they will probably recommend, depending on what you say, to go and see your AME. That's definitely the next thing you need to do, your aviation medical examiner. Sit down with your AME and just tell them how you're feeling. In many cases, it might just be burnout. You might feel depressed, but you don't want to say the word depressed because you're worried you're going to lose your license. You might just be burnt out and exhausted. You might have just too much on your plate. I know what that's like. And you need to speak to somebody. You need to speak to a proper doctor. You need to get diagnosed and find out where you go from there. But don't be scared about it. Yes, forget about the stigma. Don't tell your friends if you're worried about that, but go and see the professionals and get professional help.
I think part of the problem is coming because when people do get grounded over mental health issues, it can be quite time consuming and expensive to get their certification back. But we saw some news this week that the FAA is looking into revising certification rules for pilots that were grounded through mental health issues. And they're saying that they're going to try and make it easier for the licenses to be clawed back. And they're also looking at expanding the list of SSRIs that pilots are allowed to take. So at the moment, there's a very small list. I think it's about 4 different medications that are approved as part of FAA regulations, but they're looking at adding another 7 different medicines to the approved list, which means, you know, if you're under treatment for anxiety, depression, or any sort of mental health issue, there is a potential that you could get your license back. But what I want to know from you, Chris, is do pilots know this, or is there a lot of kind of misinformation going around about mental health in the community?
What I love about these podcasts is, no, I didn't know that. You've educated me on that one. I didn't think you could fly with any sort of medication. So there we are. Even a senior pilot in the industry, I wasn't aware of that. Because, again, I'm an airline captain. I'm not a doctor. So the doctors, course. The FAAs, the CAA in the UK and EASA, they're the people who regulate this. And if you do have a mental health problem, they're the people you need to speak to. And, again, your AME is your first point of call. And like I said, like you just said as well, the evaluation of a mental health problem. So it's like if you've got a broken leg or a broken arm, a doctor knows how long that's going to take to heal, and you go and see your company and say, I will be back in work in 6 months. And they go, great, 6 months. And they pencil you in and you start your simulator retraining and getting back online. With a mental health problem, it's variable. It can be a month, it can be 3 months, it can be 6 months, it can be longer. And like you say, if the medication's involved, who knows where it is. But again, seek out help with your AME.
Great message. Absolutely. Well, hopefully there's some pilots listening to this that have learned you can potentially fly with some medical help still in your system. So, you know, you've talked a bit about the pandemic, and I think, you know, the pandemic impact on pilot mental health and well-being has been particularly harsh. So, you know, there was a study I was reading by Trinity College in Dublin where only 47% of aviation workers across the whole industry rated their mental health as good or very good. 77% said that COVID had a negative impact on their mental health. Now, you talked about the stability of the industry and how people saw all their colleagues losing their jobs and they're maybe worried about their jobs. But I think equally concerning are the ongoing reports of pilots being overworked. You know, pilots are flying tired. We're still in a staffing crisis. There's still not enough pilots in the pool to maintain the schedules. So, you know, they're really pulling out all the stops. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a few near misses and kind of hair-raising events going on, which people have put down to either tired pilots or tired air traffic controllers. Is this something you're seeing? And what are the rules around, like, duty time and minimum rest periods for pilots?
Once again, you've answered it in the sentence by saying that because of the pandemic, we have this worldwide pilot shortage. And that worldwide pilot shortage means that the airplanes are back flying, but we have less pilots to fly them. And it's not just pilots, it's cabin crew, it's ground staff, it's everybody related in aviation. And the safety must stay at the same level as it was pre-pandemic. And to do that, we need more staff. And if we don't have more staff, we need to train more staff. And the training of more staff, again, creates the reason for more staff. And we need to be very, very aware of our own mental health because it is being impinged. People are becoming burnt out because of post-pandemic demands on aviation. And so therefore, airlines can use the regulations as rules. And that's not where we want it to be. You know, we don't want the limits to be used as the guidelines. And unfortunately, in some cases, that's what's happening because they're just so short of people. They need to get these airlines running. They need to get people in the air. And the pilots and the cabin crew and the ground staff and everybody else involved may have lost their job or their friends have lost their job. And they think, well, my job could be on the line again. So I've just got to keep coming into work and I've got to keep coming into work. But with Mental Health Awareness Week, always keep in the back of your mind that you're human. You're not superhuman. You're not, you know, you don't have special skills or, you know, you're not superhuman. So basically, if you're not feeling well, speak to your doctor, speak to a friend, speak to a colleague, just speak to anybody and get some help. You know when the right time is to speak to somebody. If you're having doubts on your ability to do your job properly, that's when you need to be speaking to somebody. And do it earlier rather than later. Don't wait till something happens at work because, you know, that affects people's lives and the people around you.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is airlines are staying within the duty rest time rules, but they are running right up to the limits. So people are working much harder than they're maybe used to working or than they should be working.
That's so true. I'm not saying every airline. I'm saying, you know, there's a tendency that they can do that because they're short of people. They need to get the airlines flying. So, you know, they can use the rules as a rule rather than a guideline. And unfortunately, people within the aviation industry need to realize that they're the most important cog in that that chain, or you know, most important cog in the wheel. So you are a cog in the wheel, and if you're not doing your job properly, you know, people's lives could be at risk. So if you feel that you have any problems whatsoever, and you're not up to your natural ability to do your job properly, tell somebody, talk to somebody, get it sorted out now. Don't wait until we have an incident or an accident. Because, you know, you're in a very safety critical environment, and you need to let people know when you're not performing.
Absolutely.
You know when you're not performing.
Yeah, I do too. I'm tired today. I wouldn't fly a plane today. I've had a busy weekend. So I will talk to somebody about how tired I'm feeling and maybe take a couple of hours off this afternoon. But obviously my job doesn't have hundreds of people's lives in my hands. You know, I think that's a very important message that you're putting through there, is just keep talking. You know, don't keep it all blocked in and inside yourself. You know, you need to let it out and try and get the help that you need. So, Chris, to kind of wrap up today, it's been really nice exploring this very important topic with you. But have you got any hopes or aspirations for future aviators and pilots, in particular in regards to their mental health and well-being?
Like I said, we've already got these peer support groups. I know they exist in the UK and around Europe. Other airlines over the other side of the Atlantic, I know Southwest Airlines have a system called Project Lift. That they use. Also, Delta Airlines, they've got a thing called PAN, the Pilot Assistance Network. I love that name, PAN, because it's like we have Mayday and we have PAN. And PAN is when you have a mechanical failure, you call somebody, right? You make a PAN call. So they have a Pilot Assistance Network. So that's to help their pilots to get, you know, basically somebody to speak to, and somebody who's an expert in that field, or somebody who's been through something similar. So the peer support groups are your first point of call. Definitely speak to your medical examiner. And speak to your family, speak to your friends, and speak to the people around you, and try and reduce the stress. You know, we all have stresses in our lives. Every single one of us has stresses. Like you said, you're a little bit tired. I'm thinking about things I've got to do today and this week. Try and reduce that stress. You know, learn to do something creative. You know, spend some time in the nature. I'm so lucky. I have three dogs, and those dogs always need walking. That's one of the, you know, a walk won't fix your problems, but they won't make it any worse. So go for a walk sometimes. Have naps. You know, maybe I'm at that age and I need naps, but always try and get enough sleep. Try and eat well. I mean, a pilot's life is difficult. We eat at different weird times of the day or night. We arrive at a foreign city. We grab a pizza instead of a nice healthy meal. So, you know, I'm teaching myself as well. Try and have a proper meal. Try and get some sleep. And the most important thing I want to end on, the most important thing is when you ask somebody how they're feeling, ask them twice.
I love that, Chris. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again. And I hope you'll come back on the podcast one day to chat with us again. Thanks so much. And I hope you have a great week ahead.
You too, Jo. Thanks. Great speaking to you. Bye-bye.
No worries. Well, that's all we've got time for on today's podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and welcome any feedback at editorial@simpleflying.com. And for more great content, of course, you can visit our website at simpleflying.com or find us on social media. If you enjoyed the podcast, please do leave us a rating on your favourite podcast player. Thanks for listening.